Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on medical leave as we broadcast live from Cades Valley Golf Course, where the BMW Championship will begin this week. Today, the Pro-Am, the official tournament tomorrow. Ed, just starting out, it was funny, it was 10 minutes ago, I was thinking about the show opener, set the scene. I'm thinking, I can't see that quickly. We can.
Yes.
That quickly we can see.
Yes, God turned the lights on.
He did.
He just flipped the switch.
It's beautiful out here.
I was texting. Sitting out here in the pitch darkness, foggy ground, a little damp.
High grass in front of us.
Love it. It's like,
this looks like television, you know what I mean? It does. This
looks like a golf tournament you'd see on TV.
Yeah. The ultimate driving machine over here for BMW. They got their logos everywhere, even on Steve Regler's head as he wears the BMW hat.
Yeah. Want to tell him where he got that from?
Somebody sold it to him, didn't he?
I think it was Coleman.
Yeah. What hole is this in front of us?
11, I think.
11th hole? They're already sanding the beach out here.
Doing something no one ever does. Repair the sand traps.
Yeah. It was a maze getting in here, wasn't it?
Yeah, always is.
But once you got here, they were pretty cooperative.
Yeah, no, they were nice. It's a nice event. It's a beautiful event, actually.
I've never played out here. Been invited, but never actually come to play.
Yeah, John.
Oh, we talk about Maroon?
Harbaugh.
Oh, Harbaugh.
We were supposed to play, and it just didn't happen. It's like he's busy or something.
Now, this is a private place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful, though. I love it. Right out here in Owings Mills on a different level. Now, the Ravens training camp is not far from here.
No.
It's probably less than 5 miles, right?
Probably less than that, yeah. We're out this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place, as you said.
They all kind of live out this way, too.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to live close to the facility.
Work.
You know, I don't. You do now.
I do now.
But you didn't before.
No.
What'd you do last night?
What did I do last night?
I'm not used to not looking across the table at you.
I know.
This is a hard right.
It's weird. I can't even see you. You're behind me, kind of.
This is a hard right.
Yeah, nothing. It's the O's game. Stayed home. Oh, we played some Texas Hold'em.
Did you win anything?
Yeah, then I got down and got my stuff ready for today. I had to leave the game a little early.
I did the last night, went to the game because I was the MC for the Faith Night, something you would have loved, Steve Regler. It was Faith Night last night for the Baltimore Orioles. I'll tell you more about that in Clubhouse Connections. But it was a great event. You know, you find out some things about some people that you work with that you never knew, which was a good thing, a good find. The game was not bad. We'll talk about that also in the next segment. But I had a good night seeing some friends, hanging out a little bit. I also played some wiffle ball yesterday.
Did you really?
I played some wiffle ball.
I wanted to play for years lately. Tom Rogers and I, Tom from Fox 45, for people out there, you know, we play golf together, me and Justin, we play golf as a group, and British James, and the group of us usually play together. Mm. And then after golf season, we said, we should have a wiffle ball.
Wiffle what?
I want to pull it back when I said it.
Wiffle what?
Even Steven's laughing at me now. He doesn't make fun of anybody. He's making fun of me. We've got a wiffle ball tournament.
I played yesterday, teenager, against one. And surprisingly, you know, they say your body needs movement. You know what I mean? You just need to move. If I hadn't had some movement before playing, I think I'd be sore today. I'm not sore at all. I'm surprised because, you know, you swing hard when you swing a wiffle bat.
You do.
It's not a soft swing. And I woke up this morning expecting that when I moved, that it'll be some pain, and there's no general soreness. There's no general soreness.
Well, you can't be an Oriole.
There's no general soreness this morning. I had fun. I want to play again.
It is fun.
It's hard to hit that thing.
It's funny. Jeez, I was at Dick's a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in line. The guy in front of me had a wiffle ball bat and ball. I'm like, you know, that's a great idea. Like, we should do that. And I didn't, but I really thought we should have.
I didn't go to Dick's because I remember, bro, this tells you how much kids don't play outside anymore. You know, I used to go to the Dollar General or the Dollar Store, whatever that is, and you find wiffle balls and bats
Absolutely.
All over the place and all these toys for kids to play outside. None. Zero. My kids just don't play outside anymore. No need to carry the products. So next time I'll go to Dick's and pick up my own. Because I got there, he had a ball. It wasn't a wiffle ball. It was weird.
They had a barrel full of those things.
Yeah, it was a weird ball. I think he hit me by the pitch. He hit me with the ball like maybe six times yesterday, too. But it was a good game.
Well, they don't fly straight.
That's what I like. But this wasn't a traditional wiffle ball, though.
It wasn't?
No, that's what I didn't like about it. I mean, he threw a good curve ball, but it wasn't moving, hovering like the wiffle balls do. They make it absolutely impossible. See, I was throwing it like you throw a wiffle ball. Wasn't getting the movement on it. So I just, you know, changed pace on him. What are you looking at right
now? This is going to suck. This is going to suck for the next four hours.
What are you looking at? Kinky knots.
Read the rest of it.
Japanese bondage becomes art. What on earth am I being forced to look at right now by you?
Shibari.
It is 6:08, and you're looking at kinky knots. Gee, come on, Ed.
Shocker, I got that into
We're not looking. I'm not across from you now when I'm looking at the back of your laptop.
We're in the tent. There's nobody behind me. You're the only person that can see.
And I can't unsee it because I'm looking at you, and I just, as I turn back to my left, it crossed my vision. Kinky knots. So Japanese bondage is now art?
It's art. It's an art.
How is that?
You have to pass a 10-stage course, master a variety of knots, guaranteeing the safety of those they're tying up.
Well, they have to be safe. So the knots, the way the knots are tied up is the definition of safety.
And it goes, but this is, I'm learning history.
Is that what you're doing?
I am. This is, I'm studying history because it goes back to 1603, to the Edo period, when the Japanese lords used to tie up criminals. That's what this is from.
So we go from tying up criminals to now becoming bondage.
You know, things evolve.
Well, the guillotine has become bondage.
It's a cigar cutter.
You see, anything could be a toy if you use it right, huh?
Well, this is a good example. It's a piece of rope.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
So this is history.
So this morning, Ed brought water but forgot coffee. I got coffee but forgot it and left it on my car.
Did you really?
You don't see it, do you?
No.
No, I don't want you to go get it, Steve. Come on, man. It's a long walk. That's a long walk, man.
I stopped at a Royal Farm this morning. I thought they're all good. The one at Key Highway is open all night. So that's the one I used to go to. I stopped at one by station. I get yelled at.
Gua.
Not open yet. Wow. 5. All right.
Why don't you wait till 5?
Because I know how long it's going to take to get in here.
See, the Dunkin' over there where I live, right off 543, they open at 4. They're ready for me. They know me now.
You live so far, but you can go where the troopers hang out to, like those Maryland rest stops, right about 95.
Isn't that the opposite way?
A little bit.
I would hang with them. I don't care. I don't hate the police.
No, me either.
I'd hang with them. Talk trash. You guys want something to eat? Let's go get something to eat. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this beautiful, beautiful hump day. Wednesday, Ed. This is a beautiful day, man.
It is.
It is. We're here at Kays Valley Golf Course getting ready for the BMW Championship, which begins officially tomorrow, the Pro-Am today. We got Ravens talk for you. Todd Monken spoke to the media. We'll do that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Dean Kramer with a gem. Unfortunately, Seattle pitched one as well. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A 1-2. Ground ball, softly hit. J.P. Crawford to first. And Naylor's got it. He's got the bag, and the Mariners have the win. 1-0. A white knuckler of a ninth inning for Andres Munoz. Seattle gets a run in the first inning as Naylor drives in a Rosarena, and they hang on for dear life. The Mariners have won 8 straight games, and this is their 4th of 8 by exactly 1 run.
And this is why, courtesy of Masson Sports, by the way, this is Kevin Brown on the call. This is why there are people who say wins and losses for starting pitchers shouldn't count.
I agree.
Because on a day where Dean Kramer goes 8 innings, giving up 1 run, and that 1 run in the first inning, throwing 101 pitches, George Kirby gives up no runs in 7 innings. Dean Kramer and George Kirby, that was the definition of a pitcher's duel.
It was. It was, and I got to give Kramer a tip of the cap, I must say. I mean, you know, if he could throw out April every year,
yeah,
he's a really good pitcher.
Well, if he threw out 4.17 ERA, he threw out April's ERA, I think it's like almost under 3.
Yeah. No, seriously, he threw a beauty of a game yesterday against a really good team.
And I said it yesterday. He is the Orioles innings eater.
He is.
He went 8 yesterday, last night, throwing 101 pitches. These two guys combined for 15 innings, 1 run, on 8 hits, 13 strikeouts, and a walk. That was what you got from the starting pitchers last night. I mean, if you like, and the game went quick. I mean, I think counting Faith Night, we were out of there by 10. Seriously.
Yeah.
It was just a great game. Like, I don't like defensive battles in football. I don't. I want scoring. I love defensive battles in basketball, and I love pitchers' duels in baseball. And last night was just exciting, man. It was just, you know, you don't want that because your team lost it. But that, to me, that's baseball.
Yeah.
What you saw last night was baseball.
I love pitchers' duels. I think I know people are like, you know, they want home runs, or so they say, chicks dig the long ball and that stuff. But I love games like this, and I was really excited for Kramer because I don't know what to expect day to day when they take the field, and last night was a good outing. It sucks that they lost, and they couldn't muster one run, but it's the way it is.
And to me, it's like a microcosm of the season.
Yeah.
Your guy goes out there, he pitches great, you can't get him 2 runs. At the end, you know, in the ninth inning, it looks like you maybe get to put together a rally. And as Kevin Brown said, it was a white knuckle of a ninth inning for Nunez. But he gets out of it, and Orioles lose. They're now 13 games under 500 at 53-66.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And the Mariners still roll along. So, you know, it's another frustrating loss, and I hope they don't lose another series, but it's already, you know, they're down 1. So we'll see. It's just been that kind of, I don't want to keep, did you see what the Brewers did?
Again, 11 games in a row.
11 games in a row. They've had a 10-game winning streak, now 11. Yeah, Skeens, yeah.
Wasn't that the second time he's given up a run in the first inning? It may have been the first.
Is CRA still 2-1?
Yeah. He doesn't suck.
But no, the team does. He doesn't.
How long before they trade him?
They're not going to trade him. Because it's a bad organization. They're going to make him stay there and suffer through this. It's a shame.
I mean, eventually they'll trade him.
I guess. But I feel
you can't just let him walk.
I genuinely feel bad for him. Because
they're not going to resign him.
No. They won't pay him. The Brewers have 75 wins.
Their first. I think, if I'm not mistaken, also with the Blue Jays, they have 70 wins. The fastest they've gone to 70 wins during the season since 1992. You know what happened that year?
No.
They won the World Series.
Yeah.
Are we looking at baseball where the Brewers and the Blue Jays are the best two teams in each league?
Well, right now I'd have to say so, no. I mean, so it looks like Tigers have kind of hit a slump. That's why I was going to, you know, I would say the Tigers were most of the year, but lately they've not been playing well. They're 5-5 in the last 10. They still haven't approached 70 wins, and they were leading everybody far and away most of the season.
What bizarre world we living in where the Mariners are rolling down, and they make all these moves at the trade deadline to become better, and the Brewers are the best team in baseball, and the Blue Jays, without the help of Anthony Santander, are the best team in the American League. This is a bizarre baseball world, man.
Yeah.
It is.
Different. Different for sure. The Mets and the Yankees are struggling. The Mets are 2-8 in their last 10. Soto's not having a whatever the hell he makes. It's not a good season. It's not a $50 million a year season. He's like,
can you ever have a $50 million a year season?
No, not in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
But this is not a not what you expected. But you never, again, as long as you get in. You get in, it's different. Because the Mets, didn't the Mets take the Brewers last year? And they're losing to the Dodgers in the end.
Yeah. We're here at Kays Valley Golf Course. BMW Championship begins officially tomorrow. The Pro-Am is today. And I'm sitting back as if I'm lounging in my living room. And, Ed, you're upright in that chair right there. You don't want to be this low?
No, I feel like I'm signing a treaty and I've lost.
I love
like
this
we did
chair,
to the Japanese in World War II. We gave them the low chairs.
Steve, just nudge me if I go to sleep, man. Nudge me. I got the pillow on my back, pillow on my head. This is great. You can get used to this.
Yeah.
You can get these seats at the
state. Hey, I'm all for broadcasting outdoors.
Until it gets cold.
Even then.
No. Mm-mm. No, I'll have a remote back at the state. Back at, I was about to say stadium. Back at the station. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Yeah, just a great pitching last night from Kramer. He's been that guy, as you said, Ed. If you can throw out April, Dean Kramer is having a heck of a season. Is he a guy that you look at maybe? We never talk about extending Kramer. Is that a guy you want to extend? Because to me, he seems to be one of those affordable guys.
He's affordable, and what do we see? What seems to happen every year with this organization? They pick up someone who is a, quote, innings eater.
And he is that.
He is that. So you have him here. He's a good pitcher. He can throw over 100 pitches easily. I mean, I know they don't want him to. He did last night, barely. But he does, and he can. He's shooting for 200 innings this season. He does exactly that. I think he's figured out that's a good way to stay in the majors a long time. But you need him because what's happened, I mean, just mentioned the Mets, what's happened to them is the starters weren't going very far at all. Their bullpen was getting gassed. So, therefore, you're not winning. And, you know, if you have someone like Kramer, it helps you a lot because your bullpen gets a nice rest. You don't have to, you know, put them in the fourth inning. So, I mean, I just think guys like him are extremely valuable.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Has Travis Kelce been distracted? We'll talk about the Hall of Fame tight end at 7:15, future Hall of Fame tight end. But on the other side, Eflin and Felix both done for the season. Is this the most unlucky season for a Baltimore sports team in the last 25 years? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
We got Zach Eflin will have a lower back procedure here, I think next week is where that's coming up or soon. He's done for the year, and he will stay at home in rehab. And then Felix has an appointment later this week. It is a significant shoulder injury. He is done for the year. And then we will have another update on him probably another week or so.
And the hits just keep on coming. I don't know how long Tony Mantolino will be the manager of the Baltimore Ravens. However, if he's only this year, we'll remember him as the guy who gives injury reports. Because seemingly that's all this poor man has to give two or three times a week. And I know he's walking out there thinking, man, every day.
Every day.
It's got to the point one day someone asked him about a player's injury update. And he looked at the reporter and said, I had that ready for you. Couldn't find it, Steve? Somebody removed it. Somebody removed it. Steve went back for the coffee. I told Ed, I said it'd be the worst thing ever. Somebody removed it. But anyway, he said, I had that answer prepared for you. Thank you, by the way, Steve. I had that answer prepared for you 2 days ago. You didn't ask. Now I forgot the answer. He's programmed knowing that you're going to ask him about injuries.
How could you not? I mean, it's been just what a horrible, horrible season for injuries. I mean, it's a horrible season in general. You know, just obviously, it's not a good season for the Orioles. However, man, you go through the injury list. It just, it's on and on and on.
And the hits keep on coming.
It's just unbelievable. Like, Kerstad, O'Neill, Kowser, Hanley, Gomez, Wells, Bradish, Rodriguez, Bautista, Eflin, Suarez. It's like, That's just the last couple.
Now, in volume, this is the worst season that I can remember for a Baltimore team in the last 25 years. Now, in impact, Ravens' 2022 season was pretty bad. J.K. Dobbins got hurt at the beginning of the season. Gus Edwards got hurt. Rashad Bateman sustained a season-ending injury in Week 8. Devin Duvernay, remember, he sustained a late-season injury. And also Lamar Jackson suffered a knee injury. Impact, that was horrible. But in volume, Ed, I don't remember this many players. Think about this. The Ravens have 53-man roster. The Orioles have 26-man roster.
Yeah.
The percentage of injuries is way far more for the Orioles than it has been for the Ravens.
And that and the fact that the percentage is so heavily weighted toward the pitching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, you lost Bradish and Rodriguez for the season, now Bautista and Eflin. Eflin was the best pitcher on the staff starting the year. You've lost him. They have the best closer in baseball, essentially. You lost him. That news hit me hard because I found out from a friend. I'm like, what?
About what, Eflin?
Both of them.
Oh.
I was like, I don't know what time they announced it, but I was like, come on, man.
You know the best thing about the Eflin injury? And I know I'm not trying to be a spin doctor here, but this is the best thing for me. When he came back from the IL the first time, he wasn't effective at all.
Wasn't like himself.
So now looking back on it, okay, he was injured. Okay, that's fine. Procedures fix things. That's what procedures do.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have some hope that he'll be all right next year. And you say, well, how do you know he'll be here? I don't know. But as I said before the trade deadline, I think he's the guy that you don't trade and you give him the qualifying offer. I don't know whether anybody's going to give him a multi-year contract that's going to be worth more than a qualifying offer. If not, I take a qualifying offer and have a prove it year and then sign maybe a 3-year deal after that somewhere else. What will you do?
I don't know, man. I just, you're talking about Eflin.
Yeah.
I was excited when he came. I'd like to keep him because they've got to build a pitching staff. So, I mean, you can't jettison everybody. I'd like to see him here. I'd like to see Kramer here. I'd like to see him here. And I don't. The problem is I don't know what Grayson's going to be like because he's been so often injured with different injuries. And you know, and the news with him was it was like that. You know, with the J.K. Dobbins or Perryman with the Ravens. Oh, it's not bad. It'll be back soon. It's, you know, it'll be about in 4 weeks. And then it wins. Nope, out season. And that's what with Grayson. It was this. Then it was a lat. Then it was something else. And what makes me nervous about Bautista is if it was Tommy John, people recover from Tommy John, and sometimes they pitch better. You have a shoulder injury. As someone who just, you know, set off the metal detector walking in here for because of his shoulder, you can't do much. And that's a tough thing to recover from. And it makes me even more nervous than Tommy John when it's a pitcher with a shoulder. Because I don't know how he's gonna be when this is repaired. You just don't know because you know, you've had shoulder problems. You can't do anything when your shoulder's jacked. I mean, you can't put dishes away in your house. You can't raise your arms, you know, to shave your head for your people who do. Like, there's so many things you can't do. And they might pitch a baseball 100 miles an hour.
I remember when I couldn't move my shoulder. I was shaving both sides of my head with one arm. You know how that is.
Yeah.
That's not fun. Last year's qualifying offer for baseball was 21.05. I'm sorry. So that means you anticipate, you know, no less than maybe 23, 24 this year. I don't see anybody offering Eflin in this offseason a multi-year contract over $24 million.
No.
So sign the qualifying offer,
have
a prove-it year, and then go out and get you a big deal for the last 2 or 3 years of your career.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a logical solution because they're not going to sign him. Coming off, he's been on the IL 3 times this year. So, no. They're not going to sign him. Not going to give him that kind of money. He's going to have to sign. You know, he's going to, you know, have to modify his expectations, sign a lesser offer, get a prove-it deal. Hopefully, comes back the way he was, and then, you know, then you make your money. Like $20 million is not enough, but whatever.
Well, it's not enough. I can make more.
Right.
I'm not taking 20 if I can get 25.
Mm-hmm.
You owe me $10. Don't give me 9.
No, I agree.
410-583-1057, that's the number here. Kays Valley Golf Course BMW Championship begins tomorrow officially. Pro-Am today. We're here at the 11th hole, I'm told, and this is a beautiful place. This is absolutely beautiful. Maroon PR making it happen out here. He has some golfers as well out here. You see the stands over here to our right, Ed?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to sit there and watch this tournament?
Yeah.
All those stands over here?
All of them, right here.
I think those are more comfortable, the green seats over there, than those white ones.
Maybe.
They just look more comfortable. Speaking of comfort, I'm in a chair right now that I may go to sleep on. Steve, just nudge me if I fall asleep. All right, just nudge me. Orioles lose last night. Injury bug has bitten them over and over again. Bad news for if you had any hopes that Felix Bautista would come back this year. I did not care whether he came back this year or not. However, I don't like the news that I got on him. I was hoping they'd just shut him down for cautionary reasons. Zach Effa is going to have a back procedure also. He's going to recover at home. I hope Zach Eflin comes back because he's a guy. He's one of the guys that you look forward to seeing in that clubhouse. He's just that kind of guy. And on top of that, you know he's effective. He's going to get the job done. It's been a horrible year.
Those are two injuries that are really, really problematic, especially in baseball. Shoulder for a pitcher.
And a back.
Back for a pitcher.
For anybody.
You can't twist. You can't torque. You can't play golf. I mean, with back injury, there's a lot of things you can't do because your core is affected.
You wouldn't be able to twerk.
I can't twerk anymore. Exactly. It's all those issues, but your back is jacked up. You can't do anything. So it's just bad news all the way around.
Things you don't realize you need as much until you injure them.
Yeah.
Your back and your big toe. Hurt your big toe, mm-hmm. and you'll realize how much you need that big toe. You can hurt a lot of toes. You can hurt the pinky. It'll hurt, but, you know, you hurt that big toe, that's your balance, that's your push off.
Yep.
That's everything. Try to take a dump with pain in the big toe. That painful foot will get kicked out first, and you'll brace yourself down on the toe.
You bear down a lot?
Yeah, I've done that before. I've hurt that big toe, Ed. I've hurt it. Gout!
Bear down.
I got gout. Where is it? My big toe. Oh, my God. That's the scene of I'm going to get you, sucker. Don't touch my big toe.
That's why they got to change the name of turf toe. Yeah. It sounds like a ridiculous injury. Yeah. It's so painful.
Oh, you got, it sounds like you got a boo-boo.
Yeah.
It ain't a boo-boo.
Isn't that in Ogden's career?
Yes.
Yeah.
It ain't a boo-boo, folks. That big toe is the key. That's the boss.
It is. The captain of the toes.
Is Travis Kelce distracted? We'll talk about that at 7:15, but on the other side. After seeing how the backup quarterback struggled Thursday, are you worried that Cooper Rush isn't that guy? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. I'm calling you out, Rashawn, right here on the Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We got to play better around them. I mean, that's the start of it. It's a team game. I mean, we got to protect. We got to run the routes. And they got to play better. I got to call it better for them. I mean, it's all of the above. When you don't, in one aspect of what we did, because I thought we ran the ball pretty well. In one aspect of it, which is throwing the football, we got to get better. And we're going to continue to get after it, and we'll see come Saturday. But I'm excited. I like Coop. I like Dev. I like our guys. We just got to be a lot more efficient in what we're doing across the board.
Well, that's Todd Monken talking about his backup quarterback situation. First of all, Devin Leary, let's push that aside, okay? Let's start with that. That's not going to happen. Even if he makes the team, him as the quarterback is not going to happen. If you get to Devin Leary, you got no chance. Season's over. Officially, you're just playing out the rest of the season. However, Cooper Rush. What did we say about Cooper Rush? Cooper Rush is the backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And if Lamar Jackson, something happens to Lamar, you have a chance. Is that not what we said about him?
He's won games for the Cowboys.
But you have a chance.
You have a chance, yeah.
You're not winning the championship with Cooper Rush. So let's chill out with that. Why are we so analyzing Cooper Rush? He's a backup quarterback.
Well, because you need somebody to bridge. Say, you know, your quarterback gets hurt he's out for two games. You need somebody just not to toss out two L's. So, if he can win one of those games, then you're still in it.
He's 2-for-4 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Our assessment of him is if Lamar Jackson goes down, he gives you a chance. Our assessment of him was not if he comes here, he can compete with Lamar Jackson. We know who he is.
No.
Give you a chance means you don't really know what you're going to get with him. You could win with him. You could lose with him. But you don't know from play to play, from quarter to quarter, from game to game, what you're going to get from him. So, to me, I think we just, you know, when we started looking at evaluating and analyzing, first it was the kicker. Well, he missed 2 kicks in practice. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And now this, well, the backup quarterback didn't play well. He is the backup quarterback. Well, if that cat is playing an extended period of time, our chances are slim and none, and we're hoping for slim.
He's not that. He's a better backup quarterback than most teams have.
Which is not. But that's not saying a whole lot.
It keeps you in the game. Keeps you in the season, though. That's all. He's not going to. You know, you don't want him playing the, you know, the second half of the year, you know, to the playoffs. But he'll keep in the season. Devin Leary, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback.
Well, that's why I said I don't even know why we even discuss him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Josh Johnson back here.
Okay, if you drafted a quarterback, and someone said to you about the quarterback, well, if you draft him, you got a chance. You're like, well, you've got a chance. What does that mean? Well, I think that's the same thing with Cooper Rush. You when you sign him, you say, well, you know, if he's your backup quarterback, and he's got to play. You got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're getting. Period. You don't know what you're getting with the guy. Because if you did, then he wouldn't have signed with the Ravens to be a backup quarterback when you have teams who need starters out there. Nobody offered him that. They're teams who need starters. He didn't get that opportunity. 410-583-1057 is the number.
You know, if Pat Mahomes goes down, Gardner Minshew is the backup. And if that happens, if Bailey Zappi is the third string. That's, I mean, I don't know what team actually has a chance if your starter goes down.
I'd rather have Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, slightly.
Cooper Rush, an extended play in 2022 for the Cowboys. He attempted 162 passes. He completed 58% of those with a passer rating of 80. Last year, with 308 opportunities to throw the ball, his passer rating was 83.8. Yeah. 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope to see more of him on Saturday. I don't know how much you will see of him. But 2-for-4 is not what I want to make it a step. 2-for-4 with an interception. I think Cooper Rush will be Cooper Rush if needed. I'm just hoping that you don't need him.
We all are. I mean, this conversation is it's self-evident. You have the best player in the NFL. The best player in the league is your quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, he goes down, the season goes down. So, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't care who your backup is. There's not a backup quarterback in the NFL I'd want if Lamar went down. There's only a few starting quarterbacks I'd want. And they're the ones he's in the same category with, you know, with the Josh Allens and the Pat Mahomes and those guys, you know, Joe Burrow.
In the running back position, your best running back is who?
Derrick Henry, obviously.
Derrick Henry. But do you want to see the other running backs?
No.
I do. I want to see the other guys.
I mean, you will see them.
I want Justice Hill to play. I want him to play well. I want Keaton Mitchell to play. I want him to play well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the backup quarterback. I don't. I don't want to see him at all.
Nobody does. I mean, nobody wants to see the backup quarterback in any city in the NFL.
Well, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, morning, sir. How are you?
Talking about? I'm all right, man. I hear y'all dugging my man Cooper Rush. You know, there's always some Cooper Rush hate going on. But
step off here a second, my friend. What did I say negative about Cooper Rush?
Not you. I'm sorry. I should have said y'all. I got a habit saying that y'all stuff. Rob Long saying he don't want to see Cooper Rush and all that. Like, I agree,
there's
man.
If you agree, then how am I talking trash?
I'm just saying the guy's better than y'all making him out, you know, the same, though.
No, he's not. So do
said
you
y'all again.
Do you want to see him?
Don't want to see him? Yeah, yeah. In the preseason game Saturday.
Exactly. That's all I want to see him.
Most of the game.
When the regular season start, when the Ravens are up 40, put him in. Other than that, no.
Right.
And by the way, let me ask you a question, Rashawn. Yeah. Bryce Young over Dak Prescott now?
Who told you that, man? What you listen to my national shows, man?
Did you not say you take Bryce Young over Dak Prescott?
Right now, with the current contract, yes, I will swipe Bryce Young for Dak Prescott and be saving $60 million and have that to build around the Cowboys and Bryce Young, who has an up-and-coming future.
Chris Brown said it best, man. Y'all ain't loyal. That's right.
hey, real quick, right? Real quick, Rob. Yeah, so Saturday, you know, before we're doing the tribute to Cooper Rush, you know, coming back to Dallas and everything, so nice little video tribute. Like Jerry Jones put on before the game and everything.
Are you going to cry?
You know, so I hope they show it on TV. I ain't going to be there, man. But hopefully, you know, somebody has some footage of it, though. There's a lot of family going to be there.
I would not put it past the Dallas Cowboys to put a video tribute in the preseason game for a backup quarterback because you guys are used to celebrating nothing. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
Right. Daryl in Baltimore. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, the Cooper Rush thing, man. I guess I haven't seen enough of him this year in the Ravens offense. But I like Josh Johnson better than him. I'm a little bit nervous about Cooper Rush, man, because see the Ravens, they're different than the Cowboys because Lamar makes up for a lot of that offensive line, that pass block and stuff. And I don't know if Cooper Rush. I have to see more of him. I'm a little bit nervous about Cooper Rush.
I'm not nervous, Daryl, but I will say this, and he does bring up a good point. It's a different type of offensive line and passing blocking scheme and things like that. I don't know if I'd rather see Josh Johnson over Cooper Rush still, but it is a different offensive system.
But definitely. Look, Lamar makes up for mistakes by everybody. Everybody. So, I mean, it's just a given. He's such a different cat. You can't. I mean, seriously, I look around the league and I look at other teams, and there's some great quarterbacks in this era. There really are. I mean, some Hall of Fame quarterbacks we're looking at.
I think so. This may be one of the best era quarterbacks in the last 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. You know, you go back to the Brady Manning era, there were some great quarterbacks then.
I take this back to me. I compare this to like the Elway, Marino, that era where you had so many. You had. Ken Anderson couldn't get any love because you had those guys in front of him, but he's a great quarterback. Who's on the Maryland Sports Mount Rushmore? We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, Todd Monken speaks out on the criticism of Daniel Falele. Up next on The Fan.